Information for the...
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
We bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But don't you know we're gonna...
Oh yeah, started to burn too many things we found. That's the Divine Daughter Williams singing with Pete Seeger of legendary Hall of Fame, and of course David Burns, who wrote all the lyrics to that song, except one, Solar Topia, which I wrote. I am Harvey Sluggo Wasserman, back here with you for another hour in the Solar Topia Green Power and Wellness Show. We have three guests with us. Allison, you'll be with us through the hour. We'll get you to the end, if that's okay. We're going to talk to you a little bit about some healing you want to talk about, but we're going to deal first with the great Bob Fitricus, my co-conspirator, on so many issues. And today we're going to talk about election theft, election fraud, and the setup for the 2020 election. Bob, you with us?
I'm here, Harvey.
All right. Actually, we are in the same neighborhood. I'm in today in Columbus, Ohio. And John Brakey, you with us?
I certainly am. Thank you.
John, you are in Arizona today?
Today I'm in Arizona. Yep, back from California.
Right.
I was over there for about 10 days.
And Allison, you are somewhere in California. Is that right? Allison? Oh, Allison, I guess, disappeared on us. Well, she calls back. We will get back to her. Okay, you guys. So, listen, we want to talk today, first and foremost, about some lawsuits in Florida. I know that you both are involved in electoral lawsuits in Florida and in the progression of what's happening with voting machines. And then we're going to do a little talking about the Green New Deal, the latest president to jump into the race. I have one critical question for both of you. I don't know if either of you know the answer. It could determine the fate of the human race. The question is Beto O'Rourke taller than Donald Trump? Because as you probably know, in the 20th century, in every election, the taller candidate won. And I think that of all the candidates in the current Democratic field, Beto O'Rourke is probably the tallest, and that would Trump is pretty tall. Trump is, I think, 6'3", Beto, I hope, is taller. But we'll see about who's going to get this nomination later in the show. Let's start, John Brakey, with you. You're one of the great election protection activists in all the United States, just doing incredible work. And you and Bob are our co-conspirators here on a lawsuit in Florida. Tell us about this lawsuit, if you would.
Well, Bob is my co-conspirator. He's a great guy to work with, very knowledgeable, has a good team. And you know, when I go into states, I always try to find the best people in that state to work with. And then after working with Bob on the Ohio suit and realizing his team's capacity, that we always try to get him to look at things with us to get his opinion and thoughts as we build this national organization, which we are now called Audit Elections USA. And you know, Ohio is one state that we filed in, Alabama, Arizona, Virginia we almost did, but we wound up in Florida. What a state. And we went in there doing public records requests. We knew that most of the state had ballot images. And after our first round of requests, we found out in the primary of 2016 in Florida that 64% of all the ballot images were destroyed right away. And, you know, my lawyer in Arizona strongly states, and I believe what he says, and I've known him for many years, it's Bill Reisner. He says the reason they're destroying these things, they're protecting the right to cheat now or in a future election, because these ballot images are a public record. They are in the chain of custody. And you know, chain of custody is everything in collecting evidence and handling it. And them destroying these things is outrageous. Well, we filed a case, and then we had to amend it to keep it going. And now we're in a lawsuit where in the primary, they destroyed 74% of all, I'm sorry, in the general election, 74, and we're focused more like in Broward County. Broward County, Florida, is where they stole the Senate race in Florida by ballot design. And as soon as we caught that, during the recount, we specified, and this is real important, we specified through on November 17th that all of the ballot images for the recount would be preserved. They agreed. We have it in writing. It was a number one exhibit in our lawsuit. And what do you know? You know, we went in and they said we have a small election coming up and we need to go ahead and have these machines cleared. Do you want to come in and witness? We certainly did. We got there and found out they had destroyed all the ballot images. And now the question is, why did they do that? Are they afraid that we were going to uncover something? There's a possibility. First off, in that county, they're kind of crazy because they put all the languages, different languages, on one ballot. And that ballot, now it's 14 pages long. And to do the recount, they had to sort 715,000 ballots out of 3.5 million ballots. Crazy, huh? Well, they then got it all done, and then they said, oh, gee, we were 2 minutes too late to put our results in, okay? And so that's the kind of stuff we're uncovering. But the fight in Florida right now in this lawsuit is kind of crazy. And it's basically this. Does a digital scanner create, does it have to create a ballot image? They claim that they turned that feature off, which is really crazy because a digital scanner doesn't work unless it takes a picture of the ballot first. That's how it works. And the millisecond that it went in, the millisecond that it happened, it became a public record, and you cannot destroy this by federal law, state law, you know, just the way it works. And so that's where we are right now. And they filed motions to dismiss the case. They threw everything in the kitchen sink. We think we answered it back. Bob's team was a very big help of us fighting back. And now we're waiting for a court decision. And then we go into depositions because there's certain people we want to depose, especially the guy who designed the ballot and did all sorts of other shenanigans possibly. So that's where the case stands right now. And we feel good about it because no matter what happens, we've already won. Florida is now recognizing the ballot images. Everybody's talking about it. It's in the legislators are talking about passing a law. And it may come down to that in Florida now that they may use another digital scanning system to audit the first system and preserve the images. So we'll have two Wizard of Oz's that will be able to say that the results are right. But the most important people to verify elections is the people of Florida or anybody who wants to verify, because these ballot images, we know, can be used for a ballot image audit. And, of course, we're working with Senator Ron Wyden's office, and we're hoping that he will reintroduce his bill that will use risk-limiting audits to verify by taking the ballot images, which is the exact copy front and back, and then matching it against the original ballot with a scientific method. That's hope.
Okay,
because
so
we believe ultimately one thing. It's easier to prevent election fraud than it is to catch it afterwards. We are impunity busters. We want to take away the impunity of a hacker. Voting's a secret process. Counting is a public process. That's where we're going.
All right, so let me, Bob, before I turn to Bob Fitrakis here, let me see if I understand, and Bob, you'll clarify my muddled thinking here. My understanding is that you have filed a suit in the court in Florida demanding that they use these ballot image, they use these ballot scanning devices, that the ballot images be protected and that they be available for the vote count in upcoming elections. Is that a reasonable summary of your lawsuit?
It's basically they're publicly available by precinct to anybody who wants to verify elections. You know, if not voting, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm rambling too long.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, if not voting was a candidate in the 2016 election, they won by a landslide, 44%. A lot of people in this country don't vote because they know the system is rigged. If it's a snowy day or rainy and they have to wait in line, they're going to say, to heck with it. I'm not voting. It doesn't really matter. And you know, poll after poll shows that. We believe that these ballot images could help bring other people back in because we can prove to them that elections could be real while taking away the impunity of that hacker. And so the case is, boils down to this, is that you cannot destroy these things. They're illegal and they're a public record. Florida has excellent public records request laws, and that's why they're destroying them.
Bob Fitricus?
Yes, Harvey.
Okay, so what is the, you've heard what John Brakey says. My assumption is that the you have sued in Florida to preserve the ballot images. Is that what we're saying here? What is the nature of your lawsuit?
Yeah, that's the basics right there, that these are public records and they cannot be destroyed, and they're in serious trouble for destroying them.
Bob Fitricus?
It's based on public records, arguing, and John's right here, is that at the moment the ballot image is created, it becomes a public record and a very valuable one, since that's the one that the machine actually counts. So in that scenario, and it also, as John has pointed out, has a tremendous benefit of where you can actually, compare the ballot image, the digital ballot image, with the actual paper.
Okay,
so, exactly.
Yeah, so when you're destroying the ballot image, you're actually destroying what was counted. So if there's any problems by not making an image, you don't know with undervotes, overvotes, whether someone was just off the mark and their real intent was to, in fact, clear to vote for candidate A or candidate B. So these need to be regarded as actual, public records.
So
and they are.
You have filed in which what level court?
In a federal court. And we got a good federal judge, court. And he was appointed by Obama, and he's heard most of the other cases in federal court that happened earlier. And it's a very unique case. It's the first time this kind of a case ever came up. So we think that that we're going to move ahead with this, and pardon my pun, but after we win this case, if everything goes our way, you never can say definite in court, but we feel good about it, that we're going to walk out with a Trump card that we can use all over the country because it's a federal case. And they've decided on the merits that these are generated. They're arguing again in Florida that they turned it off. They didn't use it. Crazy,
but they have the machine.
It doesn't work unless it's
how prevalent are the machines in Florida that provide the ballot image?
The whole state.
Are they? The whole state has these images. So,
yeah, and on top of that, Harvey, that's even worse. And all of the ESNS machines, which is most of the state, this is unbelievable. They have a cellular phone built into every precinct scanner.
What?
That's internet. Yeah. They have a cell phone built into every precinct scanner.
What does that mean?
That means is that they're broadcasting this over the internet. and they're shipping the results that way. And that means it's a perfect channel for an insider, even though it's an encrypted private network. Well, that's great. We're going to be able to keep the Russians out. But I'm not worried about Russians. This always comes down to insiders. And what's an insider? Could be a consultant. It could be one person. You know, it's the same thing we found in Arizona. I had 13 out of 15 counties being run by one guy. He was loading the databases through telephone phone modems. Now they're loading them through, they could come in through the internet. And if you remember,
so you're saying, wait,
the FBI director said that these machines were never connected to the internet. That was a lie.
Does your lawsuit ask that this cell phone, Bob, maybe you can answer this. Does your lawsuit ask that this cell phone connection to these voting machines be disconnected?
Nope, because we can't, because it's federally approved and approved by the state. And we are working, we're bad people. When we go into a state, Harvey, we ask these people to follow the law. We're bad, you know? We ask them nicely. We go in and we investigate. We educate them on why. Then we start agitating a little bit. And then we start litigating. But we're only asking these people to follow the law. We're bad. We really are. That's what it comes down to.
Well,
I can't
Bob,
ask them
ahead.
Not to use those. Because it's legal.
Bob Fitrakis?
Well, part of the notion, which seems quite bizarre, is some of the cellular access, they'll say, is for technicians to fix the system. But if you can fix the system when the election's going on, you can also fix the election. So it doesn't make any sense at all that you would have, you know, cellular connections where people could be dialing in and during the vote and making adjustments. Sometimes you'll hear those weird phrases like, well, calibration, which means that when you touch, it's actually recording your vote wrong. So, again, you need a system that has the digital forms that can't be accessed. Think about 2004, Harvey. 14 months in advance, they put a back door into the system, in assuming that the vote supercomputer was going to go down, and that private contractors, totally partisan, Jeff Averbeck, who were Republicans, and Mike Connell, private contractors ran the whole election and shipped the final vote count off to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to SmartTech, operating out of the old Pioneer Bank building in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And when the numbers were shipped back to Ohio, they absolutely made no sense. They were impossible, improbable, and not to be believed. But all those people were private contractors hired under the law.
God, that's well, okay, so this lawsuit that you have filed, if the judge in this, now, what federal court is it in?
And it's in Tallahassee, and I think the what federal district is that, Bob? Is that the 5th or 9th, or what is it?
No, it's not the 9th.
Oh, it doesn't come down. I'd have to pull that one up.
But we're in federal court in Florida, in Tallahassee, which is the
okay.
Capital.
So, if you win this case, this is in front of a single judge. So I assume it will be appealed.
Could be.
And
we feel good about that, too, in this court. Because when they appeal it, what are they appealing? A digital scanner doesn't create an image? Think about that.
Okay. So,
got it boiled down to a simple case.
Well, if it's appealed, who would appeal it? The state?
Well, of course they would, and trying to burn time because, you know, they don't want elections that are transparent, trackable, and publicly verified. We, the people, do. They don't. This whole thing, like, for I'll give you a good example, okay? You know, I was on the Fraction Magic team. We know that how Fraction Magic works, okay? You think you got a whole vote, you don't. So they're going to have a recount in Florida, and I'm sitting back and I'm watching this recount, okay? And you know, they say, okay, we ran a logic and accuracy test, and we know that the logic and accuracy test proves the system's working. We run it before and after. Well, you know, hey, you got to remember Volkswagen, okay? They sold 580,000 cars in this country, and they passed emissions maybe 2 million times, okay? Passed every time. And an emission test and a logic and accuracy test is the same thing. It tells you that the system is working right, when in reality, it was a huge fraud, okay? The Volkswagen diesels, they were putting out 40 to 80 times over the limit. But when they pulled onto the emission table platform and they were tested, they passed because they changed their timing and they turned on the pollution controls, okay? Well, it could be the same thing in voting. So now we're going to have a recount, and the law says that, you know, the only thing that the public gets to look at is the overvote and the undervote, which could be maybe a half a percent of the whole vote. You know, zero times zero is zero. Now, if I want to launch a fraction magic attack, I can put in, okay, I want this candidate to get only 0.85 of the vote, and I want the other guy to get 105, and we can work at the numbers so well, it will balance perfectly on a precinct level to the actual.
All right, so here's a question now.
How many people, you know, voted?
If the, Bob, maybe you can answer this. If the machines in your lawsuit here, if the machines can still be hacked into by cell phone, are they going to be able to reshape the paper ballot that goes through the process here and comes out the other end? How is it going to affect the paper ballot that is scanned?
Well, if I could jump in here, it's a hand-marked paper ballot. That's important, okay? If it's a machine-marked, we're in trouble. It's easy to change because a machine-marked ballot will make every mark exactly the same on one ballot or a million ballots. Hand-marked, now that is the key, and that's what we fight for. This system, I would do not recommend it using on machine-marked ballots. It has to be hand-marked, which is most of Florida and most of Ohio, too. Bob, I'll let you jump in.
No, it's absolutely right. And again, John has pointed out several times when he spoke, these machine-marked ballots, right? I mean, essentially, they're DREs. They're, you know, direct recording electronics. They're touchscreen. And, you know, there's been letters from Phil Stark, from, you know, the leading computer experts like Ari Hirsty that says it's can't be audited. If you're going to use these machine-marked ballots, it makes no sense. You can actually, in a digital ballot image as a public record, you can actually see the, you know, somebody using a check, they're using an X, you know, what's their style, and you can match it to the exact vote at the precinct. These machines, the digital imaging machines, have audit functions. It makes it very easy to audit. These machine-marked ballots, you know, are a joke. You know, it's just a way to bring back, you know, the DREs, the direct recording electronics, the touchscreens to sell the bells and the whistles.
Okay, so let's assume you win this case and it gets appealed up to the Supreme Court. What's going to happen? Bob?
You know, I don't know. Bob might have to ask that one because he has more expertise on that.
Bob,
well, it really, you know, I'm hoping it'll be 5-4 and Roberts will continue to move to the center because, but none of this is guaranteed. Is, you know, I worked with John, his organization, and we sued here in Ohio, and it never occurred to me that a judge would rule, which they did in Franklin County, that you don't have to turn on your security features. You don't have to turn on your ballot imaging and audit log. So to be clear, they went out and bought state-of-the-art digital ballot imaging machines, you know, coming out of German banking technology the easiest stuff to audit in the world. And then a judge said, well, you know, you own them, but you don't have to turn on the security. I mean, it's like you buy a house and you buy the state-of-the-art backup cellular, you know, wireless, all of the security system with all the cameras, and then you don't turn it on. If I'm in the insurance business and that happens, I'm thinking somebody wanted their house to be robbed.
Okay, so here's the question then. Let's say you win this 5-4 in the U.S. Supreme Court, and Florida is forced to use these ballot images, the hand-marked paper ballot that is scanned, and they're required to turn on the ballot image reading devices. Does this apply to the other 49 states?
Only if we apply it and use it, and then it could be possibly challenged because it is a lower federal court ruling. But I just want to state one thing about this. There's no turning it on. It works. It doesn't work unless it's on. What they're doing is destroying. Okay? Is that understood? Because it's a digital scanner. It must create an image, and then they destroy them. That's what the problem is. And so that judge was fooled, okay? That's why it's important we have experts right there, on situations like that, because these judges just don't understand the technology like we do.
Talking with Bob Fitrakis and John Brakey, two of the country's leading experts on election protection. Now, there is a kicker here, which you have mentioned many times. I believe in Los Angeles, they don't want to have hand-marked paper ballots. They want to have machine-marked paper ballots. John Brakey, can you tell us about that?
Well, it's a bad situation. In fact, that's one of the reasons I went over to California, because I went in because there was a forum on March 6th called Protecting the Frontline, County Election Security in the 21st Century. And most of it was Secretary of State was there, and it was hosted by the County Board of Elections out of at Google's headquarters in Santa Clara. And it was a good reunion. You know, Phil Stark was there, Ray Lutz, and a lot of stuff came out there. But, you know, the big thing I can see is that the vote in California is moving heavily to vote by mail, and they have five counties now, that Sacramento, that mail everybody out a ballot. In those counties, they've gone 90% already on vote by mail, okay? But they want to set up these precincts or voting centers. They want to use what Bob just talked about is a DRE, which they renamed it and call it a ballot marking device. Okay, and that's a machine-marked ballot. Now, the rest of the state will be voting on hand-marked paper ballots because they cannot mail out a machine. And so we're trying to push them in California to make it 100% hand-marked paper ballots. Instead of buying these expensive DREs, which they're now calling ballot marking devices, and by the way, that's a lie. It's a ballot marking device, but it doesn't produce a ballot at the end. It produces what is called a cast vote record, okay? And there's no images at all because they realize these images are a problem. And so it's like deja vu. We're back in 2002, and they're pushing the DREs again. And now we're fighting those back. And so we need people in California to demand that all ballots are hand-marked by humans. And if they cannot be hand-marked by humans, then they preserve the machine they had before called the AutoMark, which you stick in the exact same ballot that you and me would mark, and a machine then marks it for that blind person by reading the what's on the ballot to them, and then they make a decision. You know, because realistically, there's a game going on, and just like this DARPA thing, that they're giving $10 million, the military, to a guy up in northwest part of the country to go ahead and invent a ballot marking device that has open source code. So that's going to be great. We'll be able to have open source code, which I don't read that code, many people don't, and that they can come back and change the ballots, and everything that goes through the machine can be easily gamed. I mean, It's pathetic to be back at the same place that we were in 2002. Bob, would you agree with that?
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever to move in any direction towards the ballot mark devices, machine mark ballots. It's a giant leap backwards. And what they've done over the years is sometimes they'll get people with certain disabilities and they'll demand that they have those there so, you know, they can vote on something that, you know, is touchscreen. But increasingly, they'll then say, well, we need to buy these ballot mark devices so we can create equality. But we've seen this in the past. And another thing we should be concerned with, at least here in Ohio, I'll mention it, is we've got a bill, and we need to look for this nationally, Senate Bill 52, which integrates the National Guard into a cyber reserve force that will protect the critical infrastructure, and they put it in an election bill. And they reference an audit and also the military code of justice taking over. So at least in Ohio, it's had three hearings and three readings on a strange cyber reserve National Guard integrated bill to save us from evil outside forces like the Russians.
Weird. It's really weird.
It is weird because right, well, you know, I'm not worried about Russians. I'm worried about insiders. And I'll tell you, in my career, that's what I find. The problems are not on the outside. The problems are in the inside. And you'd be shocked, which I cannot go into right now, what we're getting ready to expose, and that we're having meetings with black box voting over the weekend to really go into depth of what we've uncovered in Florida and other states when it comes to insiders.
Well, I'm certainly worried about insiders, but I'm also worried about the Russians. I mean, we have a guy in the White House who's owned lock, stock, and barrels from his money laundering days by the Russian mafia, now headed by Vladimir Putin. And I hope that the Democrats in the Congress will eventually get into money laundering. That's what Steve Bannon long ago said would bring down Trump. And by the way, I am in a pool, a betting pool. I was at a party, and I put in $10, betting that Donald Trump would be gone by April 22nd. So I only have one more month to go, and yeah. I certainly hope that I win that couple of $100 in that pool. Okay, well, this is very
interesting. Well, just in closing, I hope you do, but I want you to know is that when it comes to the Russian story, they did – interfering when it comes to maybe media, but I don't think, listen, the feds never even looked into how they could have gotten in, and we see the damages that they've done was propaganda, and basically it's the same thing. I think what Bob told me, and something I looked in was very true, we spent $1 billion getting Boris Yeltsin in. Okay, what'd they spend on Facebook? $400,000.
Yeah, well, at any rate, we look forward to hearing more, and I certainly hope that your lawsuit succeeds. What is the time frame on your federal lawsuit, Bob? How do you expect it to proceed through the court system?
Oh, I would defer. I did the research here in Ohio, but John may have a better idea of the time schedule.
Well, we're hoping, John, that within the next few weeks we'll get a decision from the judge, possibly a hearing that we will go in and discuss the mission, their attempt to dismiss the case with four different things they wrote up, which were all bull, and then the case will proceed with a statement of facts, what we agree and what we don't agree, and then the case will boil down and get ready to go to trial. We want to do maybe one or two depositions of some insider people, because you got to remember, Broward County is what cost the Florida, the U.S. Senate race. In that one county.
Okay. Yeah. So the best case scenario is that you win in this court. It goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. You win 5-4. And then
he'll go to a middle court first. He goes to the appellate courts, which is that district. And then it would go to the Supreme if it went that far.
Your opponent in this case is the state of Florida. Is that correct?
That's Secretary of State. And I guess the 60-some counties we sued, I think maybe 16. The other smaller counties, believe it or not, like these ballot images because you know what they found out? They're really good for auditing and adjudication. That's what it's supposed to be used for, by the way.
Must take a lot less person power to count the election
as
well. All right, so let's hope you win, and we go into 2020 with a nation 100% casting hand-filled out paper ballots that go into a machine, are scanned, are read by the computer, and we have the backup of the original ballot. Is that the Holy Grail here?
Yes, but there is a situation that these ballot marking devices are being snuck in by right-wingers. The whole state of Georgia is fighting over them. They don't want them, but they want them because they can steal easier, okay? Kansas, you know, Elmer Fudd, Dennis Quebec, he went ahead and snuck him into a couple of counties, fired the election directors, brought in his own people, and that's how he won the primary, but he lost in the general.
That's
very interesting. We need to do a study on that to find out.
Very, very gratifying to see Chris Kobach go down in Kansas.
Yeah,
that was not
really
expected, and it's a wonderful development. Okay, we've got 24 minutes left. We want to talk here further about the Green New Deal and the coming elections. Bob Petraeus, you and I have done a lot of work together on the Green New Deal. We put out various pieces. Give us your take now on what needs to develop and how the Green New Deal really needs to expand.
Well, again, looking back, the remnants of the Green New Deal has been around, as you know, Harvey, for decades. I remember working with a group in Detroit back in the 80s, Detroit Alliance for a Rational Economy. And back then, we were trying to figure how we could reopen the auto factories, you know, to produce batteries, you know, which we now have with Tesla, or other things that would help the environment. There's been longstanding, you know, red-green alliances in Germany and all sorts of coalition here. There was a report on the Green New Deal that came out in 2008. That sort of popularized it to some extent in the United States. But the notion of the New Deal implies, you know, a new sustainable economy and one that's introducing massive technology. Like William James' famous line that to get rid of war, we need the moral equivalent of war, right? And what we need is, you know, a war to save the planet. A war to make sure that it's sustainable and livable. And not only that, one that marshals people literally in a martial way to do to battle, to do war, to preserve human life and the ecosystem. One that's going to provide millions of jobs and one that's going to recognize that climate change is not a hoax, and gets away and goes back to the science.
Well, okay, but in addition to climate and energy, I mean, everyone presumes that the Green New Deal is primarily about energy and shifting to from a fossil nuclear base. Although there's some, you know, crazy people who want to include nuclear power. But the primary goal is to shift from fossil fuels to nuclear to renewables. Now, you and I, Bob, have talked a lot about adding additional social goals. As the original New Deal with Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, putting millions of people to work, that was the primary goal. And I don't see that in the current discussion of the Green New Deal. But it's something we need to add in, don't you think?
Absolutely. And as you know, Harvey, the mainstream Democrats want to talk about how you pay for it, right? And I think people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, pointing out, as well as Bernie Sanders, it's only when you're doing things that are just and sustainable and good for the planet that suddenly people want to figure out how to pay for it. When you're killing, three-quarters of a million civilians in Iraq and there's no budget for it, you just go and do it anyway. But, yeah, I mean, people need to be put to work. People need to learn skills that not only will work in the United States, but will work worldwide. These should be massive jobs programs. Rooftop solar. I mean, okay. Germany's already suggested the way to go there. The technologies you've been talking about forever, from, shingles with embedded solar cells.
Yeah, and so what we need now is a Green New Deal that really ends homelessness, provides people with work, and makes sure nobody goes hungry. It's got to be a lot more than just energy that we're talking about here.
It's got to be a massive social justice crusade.
May I share something for your present listener? This is Allison.
Hold on a second. Hold a second, Allison.
Hello, sir.
Allison, I'll get you in a second. Bob and John, this is really a key to the future of the American society. Is not just the shift in energy, but also the shift in social justice and in taking care of our fellow human beings. And so far, I haven't heard a whole lot of discussion about that. Allison, do you want to add in on that?
Yes, I feel that people are desperate for a solution that is causal and that really can cause a shift and reverse some of the damage we've done, as well as put bread and butter on the tables in sustainable technologies. I came on air to help your listeners know that there is a science and technology that's been proven in some of the best laboratories and institutes for 40 years in Europe and America, with slam dunk proofs using the scientific method. It's called bioentropic reversal, and it fixes the damage in any biological organism, any damaged biological organism. That's humans, people, animals, plants. And people need to be acquainted with this proof and then be associated with it and help others know it. Very fortunate.
Allison, if you'll give us the website that people can look for, that would be great. Give us the website.
Well, you know what? They can call me direct so I can give them a brief. I'd like to give my personal number. I'm with Earth Care Network. We help people know proof, and I have a conversation. Rather than put them to websites which are cold, and because it's unprecedented.
All right. What is your website?
My telephone number is 909-682-0404. That's 909-682-0404. I will then help them give introductory information of some of the proofs to date and help acquaint them in steps with this technology and what it's been doing for the last 40 years. And we have ongoing conversations. Earth Care Network is all about exposing proof to people who want to see it, want to experience it, see an experiment. And it's nothing to do with beliefs. It can come from all walks of life and all sorts of traditions. It's all about seeing proof, and I hope that your listeners call me, because I'll happily answer the call. My name is Allison McDermott with Earth Care Network. We're a 501c3. We're a volunteer in our own network. We're pieces of proof of the CEOs, myself, and someone who broke his neck that was fixed in 2 days. It's astonishing, these results, impossible by any known standards, yet they've got to be known to the world at large. And it's all about hope, Harvey.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Allison. We appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I'm sure people who are interested took your phone number, and I'm glad that you called in. Okay?
I hope so. Great. I hope I can give you an extensive brief in an interview that's an hour long at some point where I can detail some of the things that I've witnessed directly in the last 14 years. Thousands of proofs on people and animals. I can't unknow what I know, and I share some of those experiences, and people feel and know that I'm genuine. I'm just an ordinary person, but I've witnessed a ton of events by this scientist.
All right, so people, I'm sure, will be happy to call you, give you your phone number one more time.
Yes, sir. It's 909. If you're outside of the U.S., then put +1 at the beginning. 909-682-0404. That's Earth Care Network. And we are a non-profit organization helping people know proof.
Okay. Thank you very much, Allison. We appreciate your call. And good
luck. Okay, Harvey.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
We'll see you again.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's go back. I actually saw John Kasich last night, a former governor of Ohio, who with whom Bob and I are very familiar, talking with Anderson Cooper. And John Kasich was telling me, well, first of all, of course, Kasich is no fan of Donald Trump. He's among the legion now of Republicans who are called never Trumpers. And, Kasich is a pretty straight guy. I mean, it's like, I think when he sees Trump, he sees some kind of crazy hippie or something like that. But anyway, he was also talking about how the Democrats have to be careful. I love how we get advice from the Republicans, you know, how the Democrats have to be careful to not go too far left. Now, of course, by this he means Bernie Sanders and maybe to a certain extent, Elizabeth Warren. Now, we've suddenly seen this kid, and I guess, you know, the three of us being geezers, would refer to Beto O'Rourke as a kid jumping in. As I said, the one great thing that O'Rourke has going for him is that he might be taller than Trump. I'm pretty sure he's the tallest of all the Democratic candidates. But there seems Bob Fitrakis to be a pretty clear anybody but Bernie sentiment out there among the conservatives in both parties. What do you think?
Oh, no, I agree with you absolutely that's the what's going on. I mean, and the Biden is emerging as the anti-Bernie, and I think the rest of the field are hoping hives off a few points here or there for progressives.
Well, what is it exactly that they fear so much about Bernie, Bob?
Well, the S word, man. The fact that he's willing to call into question, you know, corporate capitalism, that to say the system, you know, is essentially not working, a bit authoritarian in nature and creating massive inequality. So more than anything else, you know, he's personally out to destroy American exceptionalism, that somehow we can be the only advanced democracy in the world without a labor or a social democratic or socialist mass left party. And somehow it'll be good not to have someone standing up for people who work for, hourly wages.
Well, it's pretty amazing, and I think that I mean it's predictable that given a dozen people now who are running in the Democratic Party, that all of them at one point or another are going to gang up on Bernie and on Elizabeth Warren. I don't think she'll go after Bernie, but I assume the rest of them will. On the other hand, that's what most of the Republicans did in 2016, and we wound up with Trump. I actually saw there was a column in this is an amazing thing to read. It was a pretty interesting read, actually. In the New York Times, one of their columnists compared Bernie to Reagan and said that, you know, Reagan had this sort of big tent, avuncular, appealing, and very consistent. I mean, one thing about Reagan, he was consistent, because he had to be, because he had very limited capacity. But nonetheless, and then he lost in his first run for the nomination, and then he won the presidency. And that this could happen with Bernie. It was a really interesting analysis coming from a...
Well, yeah, and Reagan was consistent because he gave the speech on the glories of free enterprise, the one he'd been making since he was on General Electric's payroll back in the 1950s. And Bernie has been absolutely, he's not on any corporate payrolls, but his fundamental principle, you know, of democratizing the means of production and distribution and standing up for, you know, working people, it has been absolutely consistent, you know, since the 60s.
Yeah, and, you know, and Bernie, you sense from Bernie that if he wasn't so old, he'd go out and get arrested again, the same way he used to. So, you know, on the other hand, these guys are terrified of him, and I'm sure that if, when push comes to shove, you'll see the Clintons, you'll see Debbie Schultz, you'll see Obama. They'll all come out and push back.
Well, it reminds me of, although he wasn't quite as much of a threat as Bernie, but Howard Dean in 2004, you know, the first guy that really was raising small money and wasn't part of the Clintonistas, wasn't part of the neoliberal free trade philosophy, and nor buying into the neocon, you know, kind of pro hardline military foreign policy. And remember, they took him out with the Dean scream. They sort of all united, and suddenly John Kerry came out of nowhere, you know, after they didn't use the ambient mic, they used his lapel mic, and then got all the media to pretend like he was a crazy man. When in the arena, you could barely even hear him screaming.
Yeah, so well, what are they going to do?
I remember that really well. And you know, Bob and Harvey, is that there's so much groupthink going on in this country in different ways, with the blue people, like, you know, Trump standing up and saying, I got the military, I got the police and the bikers with me. You know what? He may have that. It's sad to say, because of how he is playing them and they're playing themselves and the group thinks it's going on. My brother-in-law is a good example. He's Mexican. He's a great guy, but he's fallen into that line, and he quit watching football because a man took a knee to standing up for what we're supposed to do in this country is protest and justice. And for him to do that just blew my mind. That to go that far, and that's what they think. I mean, I live in Arizona. It's a dangerous state. This thing is getting ugly between the fascists that they call, we may call them, and they call us all communists or something. I mean, it's craziness.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly, and it's getting worse. We're almost
and it's
the
a,
end
it is, and it's a black mark against all the progressives who are running. You got to remember, state after state, they robbed Bernie through election chicanery and outright fraud in some states, like in California.
We're almost at the end here. John Brakey, you want to identify yourself and tell people how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, if I could. Thank you. My name's John Brakey. It's a very rare name. You can Google John Brakey in elections, and you'll find hundreds of videos. You'll find all sorts of work. Our site is Audit Elections USA. We're also on Facebook as Audit USA. And we are getting ready to hopefully launch a national campaign. We have an important paper coming out in the law journals that's explaining these ballot images, how important they are. And we're getting ready, hopefully by the end of the year, to start a national campaign to help people form small groups and learn how to take their power back, how to be able to have a small group and make change. And just and I always tell people, you know, Margaret Mead said, a few committed citizens can change the world. And she said, in fact, you don't think it ever has. I add to that, if you turn it into a committee, we're screwed. Okay, it's best to have that small group that are trained well and understand how to be effective at local government, and that's what we do.
Bob Fitrakis, how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, well, they can check my writings and other alternative progressive writings at freepress.org. Freepress.org.
So Bob will give you the last few words here. We've got this mixed field, and I mean, do you think that there's any real chance that Bernie Sanders could get the nomination?
Well, the fact that he's actually has far more grassroots support than anyone else. I mean, you know, they're piling on him with every you know, so-called progressive that they can get to mutter Green New Deal, and you know, every young star in the party is that. Yeah, I mean, Bernie can win. That's why there's
all
so
right,
many people coming after him.
Bernie can win. You heard it here first. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Solartopia.
Solartopia. Solartopia. Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia?